Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. My name is Thomas Majors, and I'm joined by David Haynes, and we're back.
Back and better than ever, possibly.
Better looking?
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Better sounding? Probably not. But it's been quite a few years since we've done a podcast. So I looked, and it was July of 2022. The last one we ever posted was August the 2nd. Of 2022, which is my birthday.
Oh, yeah. August 2nd. That's right.
And so we have not posted anything to our podcast since then, but we did post some things. And you remember the last time we met, we were at Trinity.
Yeah, that's
and we had decided, hey, let's do a video.
Yeah.
And so I think we went over and we did a video, and then we met again. And, like, recorded some videos.
I think so. Yeah, we did a video on, what was it, the Lord's Supper, I believe. And then we went to a Calvary Baptist in Tupelo with John.
Yeah,
with and John. Did the Lord's Supper video there. We kind of did part of it at Trinity and part of it at Calvary in Tupelo.
I think that first video that we did was about, like, preaching, like, funny things
that's
that people
right.
do when they preach.
That's right. Mannerisms and things like that. Right. I forgot about that, man.
And then we met again and we did the Lord's Supper video.
Yeah.
And then we met another time, or maybe that was the same day, and we went down to Calvary with John.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you and I met, we didn't do a video, but we met and did a baptismal training for young ministerial students, also at Calvary Baptist Church. We got
That's
to teach
right.
them.
Yeah, we didn't record it.
You're right, we didn't record it, but we taught them. They observed, or we taught them how to do the observation of the Lord's Supper, and then also baptism.
And baptism.
Yeah, it was a bunch of
that
fun.
That was my class at Blue Mountain, the pastoral ministry.
Yeah.
Life and work of the pastor at Blue Mountain.
There you go. University. How quickly we forget. So, all right, Majors. So theoretically, podcasts in the podcast world, we have been we've been off the scene now for 3 years. This is now August of 2025. We've been off the scene for a few years. So let's just get everybody up to speed on what has gone on in their lives and our ministries over the last 3 years. So why don't you go ahead and start? Tell us where you are.
So the big change for me would be that I'm no longer a full-time professor at Blue Mountain. I am full-time pastor at Ingomar Baptist Church. And so that was a big, major change in my life, my ministry, my family's life, because it was so much of my life was revolved around Blue Mountain. And then to make that decision to leave from Blue Mountain and to go back into the pastorate was a big decision. And so I have been here since we're meeting right now at Ingomar.
Yeah.
We're in a closet, it looks like,
wow.
Doesn't it?
What a closet. And
technically, I guess this is the former youth pastor's office from a long time ago. And so we're at Ingomar, and I've been here in this position as pastor since February of 2025. Now, as far as ministry changes, you've got a ministry change too.
Yeah, I sure do. So, you know, the last time that we podcasted, I was the pastor of Trinity Baptist Church, and I'm no longer at Trinity. I'm now at First Baptist Church, Senatobia as pastor. I'm in month 17 there at First Baptist Church. And so we concluded their ministry. We were at Trinity Baptist in Fulton for 8 years and 6 months. Had a really good, really productive ministry. The Lord really blessed. And we hated to leave Trinity, but you know what it's like. When God opens doors that you're supposed to go through, you have to go through it, and you will find yourself in an even more loving situation with the blessing of the Lord. And so we have fallen in love with Senatobia. It's on the west side of the state, and everybody makes fun of how we talk, and from the hill country, and it is different over on the west side of the state, but it is really good. So April and I have adjusted to life in Senatobia. And even for April, you know, she was a realtor for like a dozen years in the Tupelo area. And for realtors, you have to work your sphere of influence. And so we knew that whenever she moved, or when we moved, it was going to be difficult for her. And so she took a job recently for the hospital in Senatobia. It's called Highland Hills Hospital. She is their, what is her title? Foundation education, developer, foundation development and communications person or something like that.
Sounds fancy.
Oh, it is.
Big money, too.
Yeah, I keep telling yourself that. But she's having a really good time with that. And then she's also the social media director for our church. And so things are going really good. For us being at First Baptist, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot different. It's many more people there on staff, full-time ministry staff, part-time staff. It's just, it's a lot different. Larger church, but the Lord has been really good to us. We've had a really good time at First Baptist.
So you said you were at Trinity 8 years, yeah. 6 months. Is that the same thing as 8.5 years?
That is the same thing. Okay. Yeah, it just sounds longer when you say 8 years and 6 months. So. Yeah, that's right.
So what about family? My family has been maybe with some transitions. I think in August of 2022 is when Tom started at Blue Mountain. He's still a student at Blue Mountain. Ariana just graduated from high school, and Titus has just went to seventh grade.
Yeah.
And they've made those transitions well between, you know, churches. Tom is working at First Baptist Ripley in the music department, and Anna's working at Chick-fil-A, and Titus is working my patients.
Yeah.
He's just being, you know, a little boy in seventh grade. And so some transitions there. Tell me, what's it like, the flow of ministry, like from Trinity to First Baptist Senatobia?
Okay. So there is a lot of differences. So let me kind of tell the listeners what it was like at Trinity Baptist Church. Okay, so Trinity was a Southern Baptist church, Missouri Baptist Convention Church in Itawamba County. Itawamba County only had, I believe, or has 14 or 15 Southern Baptist, Mississippi Baptist, Itawamba Baptist churches. So there is only a small number of churches in Itawamba Baptist. Trinity was the largest. So they were the largest Southern Baptist church in Itawamba County. A lot of times the largest church may or may not be the First Baptist church, but this was Trinity. It was the largest, but it was a little bit different. It had a kind of a different feel. Itawamba County is a country setting, a country county. Fulton, population about 4,500 people. And someone at Trinity Baptist said it best. His name was Jerry Sinner. He was one of our deacons there at Trinity Baptist. And Jerry always said that Trinity was a country church that happened to be located in the city. Okay, so I think Jerry's right. Yeah. I could argue that point, because here would be my argument against that. We were the largest. Trinity had many PhD professors because of our location in conjunction with Itawamba Community College. You could walk from one to the other. Our property connected with what was First United Methodist, I think it's just now First Methodist Church in Fulton. So often it was the city feeling of where we were located, right there on South Adams, which is the main drag, our approximation to the college, our location with First United Methodist, First Methodist. And so a lot of it would be more city-like, but he was right. A lot of our people were just good country people. The church happened to be located in the city. Okay, now, Senatobia, First Baptist Senatobia, is in the heart of downtown. I could walk from there to the courthouse, no problem. It is a different setting, as in many people often stop by the church. I think, this is just my opinion, country churches, they look to see the preacher on Sunday, and through the week, you don't see the preacher that much, but just about every day, there is somebody that stops in the office area, stops in my office to talk, and it's just a different setting. Now, so that's a little bit of the dynamic that is different. Being in a deacon-led church of Trinity, and I'm not saying that's good, bad, or indifferent, I'm just saying that's a lot of times what it is in Northeast Mississippi, and then being in a staff led church of First Baptist Senatobia, it is completely different. So the decision-making factor comes in a completely different, or from a completely different point. And it's been really good to get used to that change. You know, Thomas, you always wonder, or at least I've always wondered, if my ministry would translate into a different setting. Maybe you thought that whenever you went to the college, whenever you went to Blue Mountain, maybe you thought that. and had that question mark. And then you're able to see after 5 years of in-classroom experience, yes, your ministry transferred and you had a good ministry there at Blue Mountain College. In the back of my mind, I always wondered, because I'm a little bit different. I always wondered.
No, not you. You're not different. Who's telling you that?
I always wondered, because what I do has been the same throughout churches. That very first church, Little Creek Baptist, that ran about 50 on Sunday morning whenever I went there. Could I do that at a First Baptist church, county seat, town, setting? And the answer is yes. The Lord's the same. The Lord blesses. And it's been a really good ministry shift in my mind.
So I've just thought about it. You were at Fulton, which is ICC.
Yes.
And now you're at Senatobia, and you're at the rival North school.
West. That's right. The Rangers and the Indians. That's it, man. Big time rivals. I happen to be friends with the president of Northwest Community College. He and I are in a small group. It's called Mission Mississippi. And we get together basically once a month. And Dr. Heindel is a supporter. He's not a member of First Baptist Church. He's a member of another Southern Baptist Church in Tate County. In Senatobia, but man, it's a really good school. We like Northwest and all the people there.
So you almost said Itawamba County.
I did, dude. All right,
so the other Sunday morning. The other Sunday morning here at Ingomar, I was baptizing, a person. It's probably been about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Yeah. I was baptizing one Sunday morning and I said, welcome to Ingomar, all that sort of thing. And I said, was talking about the person going to be baptized. And I said, and so they wanted to be a member of Gaston Baptist Church.
Oh, where you served on staff for a few years.
Yes, and then you could hear a collective gasp. And I was like, wait, what did I say? And,
you didn't catch it.
No, I didn't catch it. The only reason I knew was because literally there was a gasp. You could hear And so I was like, what did I say? And they said, somebody told me, they said, you said Gaston. I was like, Ingomar. I'm sorry. And what's funny was when I was at Gaston, I did the same thing one time with Holly. I said something about, welcome to Holly Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And then people looked at me like,
Gaston.
So sometimes we get into those patterns of thoughts, right? Yep. Where it's like our brain just kind of takes a back seat and then our mouth starts speaking for us.
Absolutely. Yes, we do that. So I think really good preachers, which one day you and I both hope to be that.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah. Really good preachers have a way of allowing their mouths to work independent of their brains while their brains are trying to think of what their mouths are going to say next.
My wife would say I do that all the time.
Oh, that's so crazy, man. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's been good. It's been good. Over the last 3 years, it's been really good. So, it's been good. Good shifts, good changes. I'm glad to see you back in the pastoral ministry. So, on behalf of Blue, I am a BMC alum or BMCU alum. Thank you for your service to our beloved alma mater. And if I ever find out who recommended you to Ingomar Baptist Church, I'm going to have strong words for that fellow. Let me tell you.
Yeah, well, he's sitting across the table from me. Look in the mirror. It was really good ministry at Blue Mountain. And, to know the students, to get to know the students, to see them progress and change over their time, for them to come in with not having a good understanding of like Koine Greek or not a good understanding of theology or exegesis or any of those things. And just to see the maturation of the students is incredible. And they're doing a good job there. They're doing a good work. Very thankful for Dr. Meeks and Dr. Mims and the continued work and ministry that they're doing at Blue Mountain. I just knew that the Lord was calling me back into pastoral ministry.
Yeah.
God had used that, used some things in my life last fall just to kind of point me in that direction. And so when you asked me, do you want me to send your information to Ingomar? I knew it was a yes. And I think I said, well, we'll just see what the Lord does.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And the Lord did lead. He led here. But how it is when God begins to move you.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of doors open almost simultaneously.
Yeah.
And there's a choice to make. And you have to decide if I'm going to follow this pattern. Do I talk to the first church first, or do I base it off of some other reason? And I just kind of made that decision. Well, I'll take the first church first. You know, whoever contacted me first, I would talk to them. And it was Ingomar. And it just kind of worked out that that God began to open those doors. They weren't closed, and eventually led me to here. And I'm very thankful for that. Thankful to be a pastor again. Yeah. Thankful to be in the flow of ministry again. I've awoke.
Are you trying to say you're woke? Is that what you're trying to say?
I awoke every day in the summer with a clear purpose. And so one of the things, like in the flow of ministry with Blue Mountain, is you had the summers off. And even though I would teach like an online class, I really had no place to be. I would get up in the summer and I would maybe work in the yard, or I would clean my garage, or I would do some things like that. And there was, it never seemed like there was a clear purpose in the summer. It felt kind of like I was a bit wayward. And really ready for class to start back in August.
So how long was your summer? We're talking 8 weeks, 12 weeks?
About 12 weeks.
About 12 weeks.
We would get out about mid, after the first week of May. Usually, like last summer when I was off the whole summer, we graduated on May the 4th. I remember that. And then we didn't go back until about the second or third week of August.
June, July, August. I gotcha.
There was quite a bit of time that it just seemed like I was a bit wayward, didn't have much purpose in my life.
You know?
I guess if I was a real professor, I should have been working on a book or some kind of manuscript or something like that. But
trying to write a textbook, get paid. So funny. Man.
But I was just playing video games. So this summer, the big difference in ministry was I woke up every day and came to the office and would go to the hospital, and just felt like there was a real purpose in ministry. And every day was different. And I love that. I love that every day is different. And even though I'm a pattern kind of person, I like to do things in a pattern. I like the opportunity to do different things and to be outside and not just sit behind a desk.
Hey, that makes sense. All right. While we're talking about Blue Mountain, I want to ask you a question. So you followed one of our heroes. We both had Dr. Douglas Bain, who is now deceased. Dr. Bain, as of this recording, passed away a few months ago, and you and I both had him. We love Dr. Bain. We love Dr. Meeks. You got to work with Dr. Meeks. But really, you followed Dr. Bain. When Dr. Bain retired, you came in and took up some of those classes that he taught. Greek and church history are the two that really come to my mind. So what was it like to follow Dr. Bain and to know there are shoes to fill? And how did you do that?
So you'll remember this. One of the very first lectures that Dr. Bain would give to his church history class, he would come in and he would give you a piece of paper, and this piece of paper would have the outline of like some water lines, and it would show a person under the water line and somebody standing on top of the shoulders of that person so they could see above the waterline. And he would always tell us, we're standing on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah.
What we're able to do today and what we're able to see today is because of the people who came before us. We're building on their life, their ministry, their experiences, and we're learning from those things. And really, I was standing on the shoulder of a giant.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, he was a great scholar when it came to Koine Greek. He was a great scholar when it came to everything that he did. And to know that I was the person who followed him, it was rewarding in a sense. Big shoes to fill. I don't think I would ever understand the Greek language the way he understood the Greek language, or to be able to share all of the nuances of church history like he might have been able to do. But he had been doing it since 1975.
Wow.
By the time we came along, he had been there for over 30-something years teaching Koine Greek and church history.
Yeah.
And I can see after, you know, I was there, I completed 5 academic years there. That 5th academic year at Blue Mountain, I was drawing from those lectures that I started writing, you know, 5 years previous.
Yeah.
And then I would add to them. I would think about what some student asked me in first year, the first year I ever taught. Yeah. And then it would help me explain something to a student who I had 5 years later.
Yeah.
So imagine that type of experience with a Dr. Bain who had been there for some 40-something years.
Sure.
And he would be able to think about questions
before they were asked.
Before a student would ever ask them.
Yeah.
And to be able to explain. Same for Dr. Meigs. Dr. Meigs, with him being there since 1996, he's able to draw upon all of those past experiences and, of course, Dr. Travis, who he had.
Yeah.
And so it was just a good experience for me. He was a great scholar, Dr. Bain, and he was also funny. Uh-huh. You know, he would have these times where he didn't like authority, and he would let us know that he didn't like authority in the classroom. And he would say these little off the cuff remarks every once in a while. And so I took it upon myself to bear the mantle of Dr. Bain when I was there. So I would get those opportunities to, stick it to the man. And so I felt like I would stick it to the man, you know, or say these little off the cuff kind of things. And I would joke around and say that I was channeling the spirit of Douglas Bain.
Yeah.
So it was good. It was fun. I'm grateful, so grateful for that experience.
Yeah.
And I've grown as a minister because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, something you just said reminded me of something I'm going to attribute to Kenny Digby. Kenny is a friend of mine. Dr. Digby has been a mentor in both of our lives for a number of years. But I believe Kenny told me this a number of years ago when he talked about preaching from the perspective of an evangelist or an itinerant minister versus preaching from the perspective of a pastor. You know, pastoral preaching is different. You know that. I think that's one thing you missed was pastoral ministry, pastoral preaching, especially within the umbrella of pastoral ministry. But I believe Kenny told me this a number of years ago that a sermon doesn't reach its full potential until you have preached it 12 times. I think he said that. If not, it sounds really good. And I believe he would support that, even if he didn't say it. But a sermon doesn't reach its full potential until you preached it a dozen times. So what you mentioned about Douglas Bain, the years that he had taught, he was able to perfect the information that he delivered and the delivery of the information. And so I think Kenny would agree with that, that every year, every time you have a chance to walk through this, it gets better and better and better.
I remember when I first talked to Dr. Bain, when I went to Blue Mountain to teach Greek and I went to teach church history, he told me, this is when you're really going to start learning the Greek language.
Yeah.
And in a sense, I mean, on paper, you know, the hours and on paper, I had the experience to teach Greek at the baccalaureate level. But, you know, seeing the progression I made as a teacher and my understanding of Greek, it got better over that 5-year period of time. So imagine being and doing that for 30 years or 35 years, you know, what you would know then, you just keep building and building and building and building to it and be able to draw from it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to this latest edition of our podcast, where we've updated you on our lives since the last time we aired some podcasts. And hey, be looking for other podcasts to drop soon.